Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Govardhan Giri Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 25th Chapter, text 11 to 15 onwards. First, I would like to hand over call to Suresham Prabhuji for brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Suresham Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, always to Srila Prabhupada. I would like to hand over call to Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So here is a brief introduction about Prabhuji. His Grace Govardhan Giri Prabhuji joined ISKCON in 1994 in Krishna Katha Desh in the Middle East. Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Jaipataka Swami Guru Maharaj. He speaks in English, Hindi, Malayalam and Tamil and has served devotee community in Krishna Katha Desh who speaks these languages through classes and training. He was chiefly instrumental in developing the Malayalam preaching in Krishna Katha Desh, where he served from 1994 till 2008. Today, the Malayalam speaking congregation there is very huge. Many of these devotees have come back to Kerala and started new preaching endeavors. Prabhuji has also been a servant of BBT and has served in the team that published the Srimad Bhagavatam in Malayalam and assisted in translation of Nectar of Devotion, and currently serving the team that is working on translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. His principal service also includes serving as the chief editor of Bhagavad Darshanam, the Malayalam BTG, since its inception in 2010. He is also serving as a member of Kerala Management Council, which assists the GBC regional secretaries. Prabhuji still trains devotees in Krishna Katha Desh through electronic media, which includes weekly sessions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter-wise overview, and Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter-wise overview in Malayalam, and SB and Bhagavad Gita overview in English. During the lockdown, he conducted an online Bhagavad Gita course for beginners, which was attended by over 1,000 newcomers. He continues to conduct follow-up classes for these people online. He is currently stationed in Trivandrum and actively engages in various local preaching programs as well as programs throughout the state of Kerala. Hare Krishna Mataji, this is a brief overview about Prabhuji. Back to you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Nice introduction. Hare Krishna. I couldn't see Prabhuji not yet joined. So shall we do chanting? Thank you. Hare Krishna Govardhan Giri Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, always to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference. Ka. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमदीरये दृष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके मोघं करोति वाचालं भंगं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्रपादमहं मन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यैश्वरम् नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादिपाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्दश्रीअद्वैतगदाधर शिवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण सो आई बीन आस्क्ड टू रीड फ्रॉम द फिफ्थ कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 25 shlokas 11 to 15 I will be reading. Okay, thank you for sharing that. So text 11, canto 5, chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Lord Ananta. We are reading from text 11 onwards. Yannama shrutam anukirtayet akasmat आर्तो वा यदि पतित प्रलम्बनाद्वा हन्त्यं हस्सपतिन्नृणामशेषमन्यम् कं शेषाद् भगवत आश्रयेन्मुमुक्षु यन्नामश्रुतमनुकीर्तयेदकस्मात् आर्तो वा यदि पतित प्रलम्बनाद्वा हन्त्यं हस्सपतिन्नृणामशेषमन्यम् कं शेषाद् भगवत आश्रयेन्मुमुक्षु. Translation: even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance, he or anyone who hears him are freed from all sins. Therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Shesha? Of whom else should one take shelter? We'll continue reading the next slokas also, then we will. Murdhanyarpita manuvat sahasramurdhano bhugolam sagiri sarit samudra sattvam anantyat animita vikramasya bhumna Govirnyathi Ganayet Sahasra Jihva. Translation: because the Lord is unlimited, no one can estimate his power. This entire universe filled with its many great mountains, rivers, oceans, trees and living entities is resting just like an atom on one of his many thousands of hoods. Is there anyone, even with thousands of tongues, who can describe his glories? Evam prabhavo bhagavan ananto duranta viryo ruguna anubhava mule rasaya stita atmatantro yo lilayakshmam stitaye vibharti. There is no end to the great and glorious qualities of that powerful Lord Anantadeva. Indeed, his prowess is unlimited. Though self-sufficient, he himself is the support of everything. He resides beneath the lower planetary systems and easily sustains the entire universe. Eta hi eveha nirbhir upagantavya gatayo yatha karma vinirmita yatopadesham anuvartina anuvarnita kaman kamayamanehi. My dear king, as I heard it from my spiritual master, I have fully described to you the creation of this material world according to the fruitive activities and desires of the conditioned souls. Those conditioned souls who are full of material desires achieve various situations in different planetary systems, and in this way they live within this material creation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Anadi karma phale padi bhavarna vajale taribare na dekhi upaye. My Lord, I do not know when I commenced my material life, but I can certainly experience that I have fallen in the deep ocean of nescience. Now I can also see that there is no other way to get out of it than to take shelter of your lotus feet. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers the following prayer. Ai nandata nija kinkaram patitam ma vishame bhavam budau kripaya tava pada pangajastita duli sadrisham vichintaya. My dear Lord, son of Nanda Maharaja, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or the other, I have fallen into this ocean of nescience. Kindly, therefore, save me from this horrible condition of materialistic life. Yetavatirhi rajam pumsa pravritti lakshanasya dharmasya vipaka gataya uchavacha vishadrisha yathaprashnam vyachakye kim anyat kathayama iti. My dear king, thus I have described how people generally act according to their different desires and as a result get different type of bodies in higher and lower planets. You inquired of these things from me and I have explained to you whatever I have heard from authorities. What shall I speak of now? Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Glories of Lord Ananta. Om Tatsat. ओम ज्ञानतिमरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्कयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरम् हरे कृष्ण सो दिस् इस् अ वेरि वण्डर्फुल् चाप्टर् दि 25th चाप्टर् आफ् दि 5th केण्टो 5th केण्टो इस् बेसिकलि दि डिस्क्रिप्शन् आफ् various planets, the inhabitants, etc., etc. So, mostly speaking about sthanam, how everything is situated, how everyone is situated, you know, how everyone moves within the system of seven up and seven down. All these things are given in the fifth canto generally, and also considered to be a very technical part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying Lord Ananta Deva, who is actually holding this entire creation. That is how Lord Ananta's prowess is being described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and elsewhere. How powerful he is, how unlimitedly powerful he is. And Shloka 11 starts. Or today we are starting with Shloka 11, wherein the holy name of the Lord is glorified by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Yannama Srutam Anukirtayet Akasmat Artova Yadi Patita Pralambanadva Hantyamha Sapati Nranam Aseshamanyam Kam Seshad Bhagavata Asrayet Mumukshuhu. Glorifying the holy name of the Supreme Lord in very wonderful words. That is, even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance, he and anyone who hears from him are freed from all sins. Therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Shesha? Of whom else should one take shelter? Saying that, definitely the Supreme Lord in the form of Shesha also is worthy of taking shelter of. Because it's very important to understand, as Acharyas say, this Asraya Tattva, or that personality who stands as the ultimate shelter. Who can give that shelter? And why is it important to understand as to whom to take shelter? Unless somebody can remove this fear of material existence, its future, its present, its past, unless somebody can remove this fear factor completely, that person alone is worthy of taking shelter. Because otherwise, you take shelter of somebody who himself is afraid, then what is the big point? Is it not? What is the big point? And this chanting of the holy name of that Supreme Lord is the process of that taking shelter. Or rather, taking shelter of the Lord means to take shelter of the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And how strong is that holy name? Here also it speaks about Yannama Shrutam Anukirtayet Akasmat. It speaks about, you know, if you are chanting. Akasmad means by accident. And pralambanad, just as a joke. Also, if you are chanting, if you chant accidentally, Or if you chant as a joke, it still works. That is what is spoken in the Charitra of Ajamila. Sanketyam parihasyam va stobham helanam eva va vaikuntha namagrahanam asheshagaharam vidhu. There also it says sanketyam parihasyam va stobham helanam eva va. So whatever may be the person's situation, you know, that is to indicate something else. If you're indirectly chanting, or if you're making a joke of it, or if you are simply for musical entertainment, or even if you are doing parihasimba, even if you are making fun of it, that is effective in removing sins. So just imagine how powerful this holy name of the Lord. And also in this sloka, another very important thing that Sukadev Goswami uses the word anukirtayet. Anukirtayet means repeat. That means you hear from the spiritual master and you repeat. So what happens? If you chant the holy name after hearing it from the bona fide spiritual master and then repeat it, immediately all the sins are vanquished. And that person stands a chance of getting purified completely. And that is possible for the bona fide spiritual master to impart that kind of shakti to his followers, his disciples, by his purity, which is proved by our dear Srila Prabhupada, that how he could make people who are completely, as this verse speaks, you know, jokingly by chance, and also this person, whether he is distressed or degraded. You know? So it does not depend on the effect of the holy name. Chanting of the holy name does not depend on the qualification of the chanter, which is actually the greatest opportunity for all of us. If there was a condition that only if you are qualified to this level, only then your chanting will take effect, then imagine all our conditions. So in any condition, one can chant the holy name and become beautiful. Anukirtaya, especially if one is following one's bona fide spiritual master, hearing from him, and then do anukirtanam. So very important that anukirtanam is very important, that one follows one's bona fide spiritual master. And then the result is there for everyone to see. And I am not saying this because Srila Prabhupada is our founder acharya. So many acharyas have glorified Prabhupada. Recently, somebody sent me a clipping of a great saint of Vrindavan. He is a Ramanandi Vaishnava acharya. Very well known saint in Vrindavan and in Rajasthan and everywhere. Great saint named Rajendra Das Ji Maharaj. So, in one of his lectures, he is glorifying Srila Prabhupada. He says that we have a pure saint in Vrindavan named Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who went to all the different parts of the world, which is inhabited by all kinds of people, and he spread the holy name, and there you see people have given up all their bad habits and they're all chanting Harinam. So he was saying that he is a true saint. He said he is a true sadhu. He was glorifying like that, you know. So a bona fide spiritual master chanting the holy name and a disciple who, however unqualified he may be, if he is doing anukirtanam of his spiritual master, that means simply repeating the holy name after his spiritual master. He becomes purified. And also this sloka, if you notice, it also says that even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance, and he and anyone who hears him are freed from all. So the chanter becomes purified. Chanter himself is impure. So his chanting process is for his purification. And not only that he becomes purified, also those people who listen to him become purified. Also, those people who listen to him become purified. Just imagine what a wonderful opportunity that we have all got by the mercy of the Acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, that we are getting this opportunity to chant the holy name of Krishna and become purified. And so Shukdev Goswami is telling Parikshit, just see, my dear king, therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from material clutches avoid chanting the names of Lord Shesha? Generally, Acharyas say that when great personalities like Shukdev Goswami puts this in a question form, you know, he is asking here a question. How can anyone seeking disentanglement from material clutches avoid chanting the holy name of Lord Shiva? It actually is an instruction which says that if you want disentanglement from material bondage, you should chant the holy name. You should chant the holy name, and of whom else should one take shelter? That also means in the affirmative that you should take shelter. You should take shelter. It's very, very important that we take shelter of the right person. And that is the Supreme Lord. And we should take it through the right process, through the right person who is a bona fide spiritual master. The right process being chanting of the holy name. So when all these things come together, what happens? Perfection automatically happens. You see, the right person to take shelter of, through the right person who can guide us to take shelter of that person, through the right process to do that. When all three things align, so the practitioner can be of, you know, any grade, higher grade, lower grade, no grade, zero grade, minus grade, does not matter. In fact, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's paddhati of things, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's system, the lower the better, you know, because he is more inclined to be merciful to the most fallen. So in Kali Yuga, everybody is most fallen. You don't have to, you know, say, you know, I am more qualified, you are less qualified. Everybody is equally patita, equally fallen. So everybody stands a chance of being a, you know, get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. We are all recipients of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Parampara, you know, and Srila Prabhupada. Unimaginable that what we have got. And therefore, today we are able to read this narration between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, where Shukadeva Goswami is, you know, without a doubt, telling Parikshit Maharaj, this is the effect of the holy name. You know, because Ajamal Charitra comes after this in the sixth canto. So the fifth canto end itself, we get the same instruction about the potency of the holy name. Like that saint was saying, it is unimaginable that how he can go to all these parts of the world and make people chant the holy name of the Lord and they all become pure Vaishnavas. So how? Because these three things are aligned. No? They understand Krishna is the only person worthy of taking shelter. So it does not mean that you should previously know Krishna as some personality. That also not required. You know? Not that I need some Sanatana Dharma basic background to surrender to Krishna. That also not required. That is proven by Prabhupada. You know? You did not even know how to spell Krishna. Also that does not matter. You simply have to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, understand it through the scriptures and follow the process, the right process through the right spiritual master, and automatically purification takes place. Continuing, Sukadeva Goswami in the next shloka says, because the Lord is unlimited, no one can estimate his power. This entire universe, filled with its many great mountains, rivers, oceans, trees, and living entities, is resting just like an atom on one of his many thousands of hoods. Is there anyone, even with thousands of tongues, who can describe his glories? As we see in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma speaks about, Chintamani Pragrasatmasu Kalpavriksha Lakshavriteshu Surabhir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Samprama Sevyamanam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam Venum Panandam Aravinda Dalaya Daksham Brahavatamsam Asidambuddha Sundaratam Tandarpa Koti Kamani Abhishesha Shopam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam. You know, two verses where it speaks about the supreme abode of Krishna, and through the numbers play in these two verses, Brahma is showing how unlimited this is. He shows how unlimited this is. Because first he says, Lakshavriteshu Surabhir Abhipalayantam. He says, there are, lakhs of kalpavrikshas. And then he says, he is served by Sahasrashata, hundreds of thousands of gopis. So again, unlimited. And then in the next shloka, he says, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniyam. He says, Krishna's beauty cannot even be compared to crores of Kandarpa's beauties. Again, as we know, when they use the words like Laksha, Sahasrashata, Koti, this all means a huge number, basically. Laksha does not mean it's just 100,000. No. Laksha means a huge number. Koti means a number much huger than the Laksha. Sahasrashata is less than that. But everything in huge numbers. Because even if it is Sahasrashata, 10,000 people are standing, we will not be able to count. Or by looking, we will not be able to make out there are 10,000 people. What to speak of lakhs of kalpavrikshas and lakhs of Surabhi cows and Krishna, whose beauty is more than the beauty of crores of Kandarpas put together. So, from all these, we understand that this all explains the unlimitedness of the Lord. It explains the unlimitedness of the Lord. And it is very, very difficult simply by some intellectual circus if we think that we can understand this. Because we cannot understand this, that is why even in mathematics there is this term called infinity. Why? Because anything multiplied by infinity is infinity. Anything divided by infinity is infinity. They'll simply say one word infinity. Because it is beyond calculation. Beyond calculation means what? Beyond human material calculation. So you cannot understand. Simply we refer to it as infinity, that's all. There it stops. You cannot calculate anything. So that is the Lord that we are trying to understand here. That is the Lord we are trying to understand here. And Sukadeva Goswami is saying, because the Lord is unlimited, no one can estimate his power. And just to give an idea of what is his power, immediately followed by it, he says, this entire universe, filled with its many great mountains, rivers, oceans, trees, and living entities, is resting like an atom on one of his many thousands of moons. So immediately he puts into perspective our existence versus the Supreme Lord. Our existence versus the Supreme Lord. Imagine, he says, in his thousands of hoods, this entire universe is resting like an atom. So entire universe of, you know, this whole thing, and within that, where are we? How insignificant are we? And what is the Lord? So first he says unlimited power of the Lord, difficult to understand, nobody can estimate, and then he gives an idea. This is what it is. So this is like an impossible comparison. You can't compare. This is like a impossible comparison. You cannot compare. You can compare. See, I can compare myself with another man whom I say, okay, I am 80 kilos, he is 120 kilos. Or I am 5 feet 6 inches, he is like 6 foot. Or I am 170 centimeters, he is 210 centimeters. Some comparison is there. Right? Or I say that I have $1 million in the bank and he has $1 billion in the bank. But let us say I have $1 million in the bank and he has, you know, $20,000 trillion in his bank, then there is no comparison. Even in the material world, we say there is no comparison between the richest man and, say, an ordinary man, or between the most powerful man and, say, an ordinary man. We say there is no comparison. Oh, he is very, very powerful. He can do this, he can do that. So imagine that comparison when we do with ourselves and the Lord. And also when we read these things, we should again think, having read this, how can anyone possibly think that he and the Lord are equal? You know? Or how can the living entity think that, you know, I am also equal to the Lord? Whether through any sort of understanding, how is it possible? Is it not? So Srimad Bhagavatam is amazing in that sense as well, that it always puts our position vis-a-vis the position of the Lord in perspective through all these glorifications. Continuing, Sukadeva Goswami says, there is no end to the great and glorious qualities of that powerful Anantadeva. Indeed, his prowess is unlimited. Though self-sufficient, he himself is the support of everything. He resides beneath the lower planetary systems and easily sustains the entire universe. He is also the sustenance principle. He acts as the sustenance principle of this material creation. Although we say that Durga Devi is the superintendent and she acts as sort of, you know, the supervisor and everything, but ultimately, this Lord Anantadeva is the sustenance principle of this entire material existence, the material realm. Because everything is resting on him only. You know, that is why he is also called Shesha. You know, because he is doing that as a service. He is doing that as a service. So that is why he is also called Shesha. Sheshatva means there is an aspect of service involved in it. That is why he is also serving as the bed for the Supreme Lord, although he is also the Supreme. So that is this very complex relationship between the Supreme Lord and Lord Anantadeva. The aspect of Seshatvam, or the aspect of service, Srila Prabhupada explains it very beautifully as Sevya Bhagavan and Sevaka Bhagavan. So Ananta Shesha, Lord Shesha is Sevaka Bhagavan, and Lord Krishna, Lord Mahavishnu is Sevya Bhagavan. So in that position, Lord Anantadeva, by his unlimited prowess, he is holding everything and sustains the entire universe. And also he is engaged. This also we know that he is also engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord with his unlimited tongues. That is also spoken about elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And also that the four Kumaras are constantly listening to that glorification. That Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Anantadeva is being heard by the four Kumaras sitting right underneath this entire creation. So what is Anantadeva doing, if somebody is asking? He is speaking the glories of the Supreme Lord, and there are four listeners, the four Kumaras, they are sitting and listening to him. So that activity is going on there, right underneath. Therefore, my dear King, as I heard it from my spiritual master, I have fully described to you the creation of this material world according to the fruitive activities and desires of the conditioned souls. Those conditioned souls who are full of material desires achieve various situations in different planetary systems, and in this way they live within this material creation. How the material creation goes on is described through this Bhumandala Varnana by Sukadeva Goswami in the 5th canto. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the prayer by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Anadi Karma Phale Padi Bhavarnava Jale Taribare Na Dekhi Upay. That means, somehow or the other, I'm stuck here. Padi Bhavarnava Jale, that means Bhavarnava. Bhava means repeated birth and death. Bhavarnava means the ocean of repeated birth and death. So I have fallen into this, bottomless water of Bhavarnava, the ocean of repeated birth and death. Anadi karma phale. Anadi, because I don't know when this whole thing started. Or rather, when did I start this process of this karma phala, taking karma phala and taking various births? I don't know. That is all our condition also. We don't know when this whole program started. And we can only now act in such a way so that we can pull down the curtain to this process or this program that has been going on, in our this bhava or the existence. Repeated birth and death. Existence in the material world through repeated birth and death. That is called a bhava. And that bhavasagara, that ocean of repeated birth and death, can be crossed over only by, there is no upaya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, except to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So that upaya only is discussed in the 11th shloka of this chapter. 11th shloka of this chapter discusses that. Although this is going on as a discussion between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, and Parikshit Maharaj is actually already, he is in a position where he can cross over. So his repeated questions about these various subject matters, we should also understand, is for, he is also the ultimate paropakari. By asking the right kind of questions, he makes Sukadeva Goswami speak the right kind of subject matter, which will be helpful for all the Baddhatmas. So it is also, while we always glorify Sukadeva Goswami for giving all these wonderful instructions, we should also glorify Parikshit Maharaj for asking the right kind of questions, so that these are coming as answers to Parikshit Maharaj's questions. That this whole process of how the Jivatma is going through various planetary systems, taking various kinds of bodies, some of them may look very attractive, some of them may look very unattractive, some of them may look very enjoyable, some of them may look not so enjoyable, some of them is filled with so much fun and some of them not so much fun. But at the end of the day, this is bhava, means there is repeated birth and death. That means there is no easy way to get out of this. Because as the living entity keeps on engaging himself in fruitive activities and he keeps getting some kind of results, Srimad Bhagavatam itself says that he becomes comfortable in whatever situation he is in. And he will adjust himself in such a way that he does not mind all the kicks that Maya is throwing at him. When we try to understand about this whole bhava, that means the process of repeated birth and death, many times we think that why isn't the living entity intelligent enough to understand? Because he has got intelligence, especially in the human form of birth. We are talking about those living entities who have got the human form of birth. Why are we not able to? Why are humans in general not able to understand that I am actually in a very, very difficult position. Because of the avaranatmika shakti of Mahamaya, because she is pulling that curtain over our eyes. So what happens is that even though the living entity is intelligent, his intelligence is stolen away by Maya. Maya apahrita jnana, is it not? The intelligence of the conditioned living entity is stolen away by Maya, which makes him run after all the impermanent things, thinking that this is permanent. Therefore, we have a completely upside down way of viewing and understanding this. And that upside down view begins with, I am this body. You know, whereas I am not this body. But starting from this, I am this body, this whole upside down view begins. And then based on this I am this body concept, whatever else is built on top of this concept, everything will be upside down. As a result of this completely upside down view of things, he is never in a position to understand the truth. So he always misunderstands something to be permanent, which is impermanent. And also when it happens in such a way that it is impermanent and he sees that it has no existence, still he is not able to understand. Is it not? When we see, you know, nobody lives forever. Everybody has to leave someday. So we would think that, okay, everybody has this experience in life. So why isn't everybody becoming renounced? Because even though that happens, after one day, after 2 days, the living entity goes back to thinking, okay, other people may die, I am not going to die now. So that way, even by experience, you will not know. That is how strong Maya is. Even by experience, sometimes we may think, of course, you know, when you have experience, you will automatically know. No, even by experience, you will not know. Because if by experience, everybody has to know, everybody who has seen a death in their family, everybody should become self-realized. Why is it not happening? Just think about it. That is why we say, you know, just because you have few gray hairs, you know, many times people say, I have few more gray hairs than you, so that I know life better than you. It's all, you know, total misunderstanding. Without having a proper guide, that guide who has got the proper view of life regarding what is true and what is false, without having guidance of such a person, you will never be able to see things straight. That is the fact. That is the fact. So, this movement of the living entity between this, you know, seven up and seven down systems is going on because of that. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadepaya Bhakti Lata Bija. So, this Jivatma is actually traveling in this Brahmanda up and down, left and right, east to west, west to north, north to south and everywhere. In various type of bodies he is experiencing. You know, no need to think that we are only having this experience. You know, we have bad experience in this life. We see death in this life and we are not getting reformed. We have seen unlimited deaths. We have also undergone unlimited deaths and we still have not learned. So just because some repeated experience is there, I will learn. It doesn't work that way. So we need to know what to take from that experience. What lesson to take from that experience in life. Unless I know that, what am I going to learn? So that is why it is very important. As Shukdev Goswami says in the 11th shloka of this chapter, that this Anukirtana, that simply by thinking that, okay, I will read all these things and also, you know, equip myself as, you know, some authority, that is also not possible. Because Anukirtanam should be there. Anugamanam should be there. That means Anugamana means we have to follow the path of somebody. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are called Rupanugas. The followers of Prabhupada are called Prabhupadanugas. You know, you have to follow somebody. And also we have to make sure that we are following the right person. If not, what will happen? If your guru is only Sadguru in name, and if he is not actually a Sadguru, then he can only simply lead you to where he is going. And he himself is not sure of his destination means, where will we go? So it is very, very important, Anugamanam of the right person. Anugamanam of the right person is very, very important. And also surrendering to the right person is also very, very important. That if you approach the right guru, then of course you will, your surrender also will be to the right person. But if in between the guide is the wrong guide, then we are doomed also. So therefore, guide is necessary. Experience alone will not help. And simply reading scriptures alone by oneself is also not enough. Because simply experience is not enough. Simply reading is also not enough. We may be able to read, we may be able to get some understanding, but we will not get the proper understanding. We will not get the subtle things that are, you know, woven into these words of Sukadeva Goswami or all the other great personalities. For that also, we need guidance. Because otherwise, what will happen is that we may read and we may get a wrong understanding, and that will again take us down the wrong path. That is why this Anugamanam, this Anukirtanam and all is given so much importance to. Because by following properly, we will reach. Otherwise, like Srila Prabhupada says, blind leading the blind. No. The leader himself is blind. Where can he lead his followers? Therefore, the right leader, right process, and the Supreme Lord, who is our only shelter. Because who else can take away fear? You take all the other personalities in the universe, right from Brahma to everyone else. Everybody got fear. Everybody fears somebody or something. The only person whom fear personified is also afraid of is the Supreme Lord. So the whole idea of taking shelter is what? So that I will be fearless, I will become fearless. Is it not? I want to become fearless. Because the root cause of my distress is fear. You take any distress that we are undergoing, that is all, there will be fear attached to it. In one form or the other, there will be fear attached to all our distresses that we are going through. Fear of what will happen. Fear of future. Fear of result. Fear of disease. Fear of death. And all these fears are very distressing. Can anyone share one fear? Oh, I love this fear. This fear makes me very happy. No, fear will give distress. And so we become artha. Artha means one in distress. So in order to completely remove that distress and become distress-free, we should take shelter of that person who can take away that fear. And that is only the Supreme Lord. Because all other lords are subordinate to this Lord. And because all other lords are lesser lords, they all have some fear of it. And anybody who is in the material, operating within the material realm, they have fear. Something or the other, you know. Brahma is afraid that, you know, somebody will steal the Vedas from him. Because immediately our thought will go to, you know, what is Brahma afraid of? Indra is always afraid that somebody will steal his Simhasana. The rishis, the great rishis, that they are afraid that, you know, they may lose their siddhis. They may lose their austerity. You know, so they are in fear that, you know, Indra may send some apsara and then, you know, I may lose all my the power that I have got by tapasya. So everybody has got something to be afraid of in the material world. Therefore, one must take shelter of that person who can actually completely remove our fears. And that is possible only for Krishna. Why? Because Shastras say that fear personified is afraid of him. So we have to take shelter only of Krishna. And how? Again, recollecting back to the 11th shloka, by chanting the holy name, which if one does anukirtanam, that is repeating after hearing from one's bona fide spiritual master, by chanting of that holy name, even if that chanting is happening accidentally. You know, I am sure many of us hear histories of devotees who became a devotee accidentally. You know, I was just passing by and somebody gave me a book. You know, I can tell you one most amazing story I have heard, you know, where a wonderful devotee whom I know of, he was in Africa. And he was going to a shop, small shop, to buy cigarettes. You know? And there he met another man who didn't have any money on him. He wanted to also get cigarettes. So he asked this devotee, can you also buy me a pack of cigarettes? I don't have money. I have one book, you know, which I'm trying to exchange, but these people are not accepting. So this person took that book from that man and bought him a packet of cigarettes, took the book home, he became devotee. So he would tell me that, you know, how my habit of cigarette smoking made me a devotee. This, like, the Prabhupada's mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy can work in amazing ways, we have all heard. But I have heard this from this devotee's own mouth, you know. The way he will present it so dramatically is so wonderful. But you are saying that, you know, just I went to buy cigarette, I got sense of self-realization. I came home, he said, at that time he was in some interior African country and there was no ISKCON there, and simply by reading the book, you know, where he found Prabhupada's instruction of chanting Hare Krishna, he said, till the next time I went to India on vacation, I was simply chanting without any other thing. I was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then he came to India and then he met devotees and, you know, became a wonderful. So accidentally, when we say no, it can happen like that to anybody, you know, where here it says distressed and degraded, however degraded you may be. Everybody stands a chance to become a devotee by chanting the holy name and getting purified. So it's not only, you know, speaking about these things, also when we hear about the experiences of devotees who have become devotees like that, you know, we understand how this whole mercy plan of Krishna is working, you know, through Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Srila Prabhupada, how this entire mercy process is working, and we are all becoming part of that, and, you know, we are getting this wonderful opportunity to practice devotional service, speak and read and study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not because we are some greatly qualified people. It's simply the mercy. I always believe that, you know, I am simply a recipient of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and it is simply he who is making me and everybody else speak. And it is freely available for everybody, you know. You read Prabhupada's book and you become the greatest Vedanti that is there going around. Who is stopping? And Prabhupada says, in one sentence, he has told everything is in my books. What more we need? So श्रीमद् भागवतम ग्रंथराज की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्णा, थैंक यू सो मच।
हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी, थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी, ऑसम क्लास एंड ब्यूटीफुल एग्जांपल्स। आई रिक्वेस्टिंग डिवोटीज, इफ एनीबडी हैव क्वेश्चंस एंड रियलाइजेशन, प्लीज गो अहेड।
Wonderful. Govardhan Gir Prabhu, superb.
Sugar Prabhu,
Hare Krishna Sanatana Prabhu. Your classes are always amazing and adibali are superb. Just the holy name, nothing else at all. That's all. There's no question. Everything I answered in the lecture. Thank you very much, Mataji. Dada Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanwad Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class with so many practical realizations to make us think and develop our bhakti. And also, it is very apt that you are staying in Thiruvananthapuram. And you spoke us about the glories of Lord Anantadev. Prabhu, if you can share some pastimes of Padmanabha Swami, it will be great. Recently, there was a WhatsApp thing that he joined in the Harinam thing. Not recently, maybe 4 or 5 years, Padmanabha Swami played the Mridanga. That person who was supposed to do the Sankirtan there, he was admitted in the hospital. So,
I normally don't share those kind of stories because there is some kind of, you know, people may think that we are sort of over dramatizing the whole thing. But that actually happened, you know, because in Padmanabha Swami temple, we have ISKCON has permission to do Harinam Sankirtan on all Sunday evenings. Before the evening arati, the Deeparadhana, before that, we have half an hour with to do kirtan. So it is read by one very senior devotee of our Trivandrum Yatra. And normally he gets one or two assistants who plays Kartal Mridanga, etc. And that one particular day, that devotee, actually, he was not well, so he didn't come. And then another person, just, you know, completely new person turned up and he played the Mridanga and he left. And nobody had seen him before, nobody saw him after that also. So there's some kind of mystic happening, if you want to take it like that, or very logically, okay, somebody who knew to play the Mridanga came along and played the Mridanga and left. So Padmanabha's glory is not simply limited to those kind of things, is what I believe. What can you say? He is the ruler. That is why the place itself is named Thiruvananthapuram. And he is very majestic, lying down and listening to all the devotees' prayers. And there are, Padmanabha Swami is an early riser. As you know, many temples in Kerala are very early risers. So Padmanabha Swami is woken up at 3:20 a.m. every morning. And after the initial arrangements, then by 3:45 the Lord will come out onto that it is called the Ottakal Mandapam. That means it is a huge stone mandapa. That's a single stone that is very rarely found. It's a huge piece of stone that is about 1.5 meters height, and I think it is about by 3 meter by 4 meter. So how that stone came to be placed in front of the sanctum itself is a big question. How they managed that in those days. And on that mandapam, the Lord's Utsava Murti comes and the Pujari will bring the Murtis, Lord Padmanabha and Bhudevi and Sri Devi, and also the Saligram Shila. Everybody is bathed together. Lord Shiva is also there. So all of them together, they come out and then for the ritual bathing. So that starts at around 4 o'clock. And then until 4:45, the Lord is bathed with all the ingredients. And then by 5:15, they close for Nevedya. Then 5:30 to 6, there is Darshan. And then from 6 o'clock again till 7 o'clock, there are various pujas. So at this 3:20 a.m. itself, we will find at least 200 to 300 daily attending devotees who come to take that first darshan of Lord Padmanabha. And there are three huge bells that are rung, you know, only during Padmanabha Swami temple, because the Lord is his mood is in Yoga Nidra. So general devotees are not allowed to ring the bell. Although there are so many bells on the mandapam, and also there are huge three bells that is just below the mandapam. Nobody can ring those bells because the Lord is in Yoga Nidra mood. It is only during this bathing time and during the evening, Deeparadhana time, only two times the bells are rung. And even for ringing that bell, there are devotees who have, you know, they come every day, their only job is to ring the bell. And they will come every day, 365 days of the year. In the morning, 3:20, they are there. I can see the same person ringing the bell. I used to think there is some roster duty. But after many visits at 3:20, I realized that, you know, it is the same person who comes and rings the bell. So he has captured the heart of many a devotee in Thiruvananthapuram, and very royally resides, and very wonderfully in Lord Padmanabha's temple, you will find the right hand of the Lord is like this, and underneath that hand sits Lord Shiva. That is a very beautiful depiction of how they are situated. And because Ananda Padmanabha is Garbhodagashaya Vishnu, on his nabhi, you will also see Brahma sitting on top. So many people also will describe this as a Trimurti Kshetra, because in the same sanctum, you are able to see Lord Brahma sitting on top of the lotus, and you can also see one Shivalinga placed below the hand of the Lord. I invite all the devotees, please come and visit Lord Ananda Padmanabha. His majesty cannot be explained in words. You have to actually come and see him through the three gates to even begin to fathom his, unlimitedness. You know, he is very beautiful. He is constructed out of 12,000 Salagram Shilas, you know, the only deity of that kind in the world. And he's also adorned with so much of invaluable gems and things. So, many things like that. Then there is also, see, that would go into a completely different narration. So, I don't want to start that, you know, how Lord Padmanabha came, how he's sitting there, etc. etc. Some other time, Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We would want one class to hear from you, this glories of Padmanabha Swami. It's very nostalgic to...
Yeah, and also Lord Balaram visited Ananta Padmanabha Kshetra. You know, when he went on pilgrimage during Mahabharata, Lord Balaram also visited this Padmanabha Kshetra. It is there given in the Mahabharata. That is why we have a Krishna Balaram temple, you know. In Trivandrum, the ISKCON deities are Krishna and Balarama. That is because Lord Balaram visited the Ananta Padmanabha Kshetra. Okay. Just to put things into perspective.
So Ananta Padmanabha is Balaram only, no? He's only Nityananda. He's only Balaram.
No, that is Krishna and Balaram. No. It is Ananta and Padmanabha. Padmanabha lying down on Ananta. That means... Padmanabha is Krishna and Ananta is Balaram.
Balaram, yes.
That is how we got permission to install Krishna Balaram.
Oh, superb.
Because other than in Vrindavan, there is, you know, after that, there are no Krishna Balaram deities installed anywhere else. Okay, I have a question in the chat box. Many people state that Big Bang Theory is the reason we are alive and working right now. So, is that true or not? Absolutely not true. But you may not be convinced immediately. So, I would suggest that you read Srila Prabhupada's books, and Srimad Bhagavatam very deeply discusses the theory of creation. So, if you go through that, you will understand that there is an ultimate cause, which is actually the supreme cause, and that supreme cause is only the Supreme Lord, and he is only Lord Sri Krishna. So from him only emanates the entire creation. no big bang can create anything. Because if somebody has to establish that, they have to establish that everything came from nothing, which cannot be, you know. Is it not? Big bang, there was a big bang and then everything came from where? From nothing. How can something come from nothing? These are all very fundamental questions that one has to answer. But the physicists, they will put it in, such intellectual sounding garbage that people may think them to be correct. But the Big Bang theory has already been rejected by so many physicists themselves. So, but still in India, in schools, we teach the Big Bang theory very wonderfully. And by 8th standard, all our children are made to believe that we are all born out of a Big Bang, which is actually very wrong. Also, scientifically also, it is not withstanding so many questions that are raised against it. Okay? Thank you. Thank you for that question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a beautiful class, very nice practical examples, and how spiritual masters plays a great role in our life. Through him only we can realize that the Lord, even though we are not qualified, even though we are chanting offensively, not qualified, but because we are under the shelter of him, we get a love of Krishna. That is really very much, hope giving for me, because I know that I'm not qualified. Only because of Guru's mercy, I am able to reach Krishna one day. I'm going to get love of Krishna one day. Thank you, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. And you were saying that very nice example of how, we in the material world, we compare to each other. Oh, you know, that person is not going to match us. Especially when you see this matches, when marriage matches is going on for a girl and boy, you know, the middleman will come and say, oh, no, that family will not match your family. But in a material only, you're trying to understand this, you know, matching and not matching. How can you, think like, you know, Krishna is the supreme. How can you think that he and you are the same level, you know, that really, you know, success, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for speaking so practical example. Very nice class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Very grateful to you. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Does anybody have further questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Myself, Jyoti Thakne here.
Yes, Mataji.
Dhanvat Pranam to you, Prabhuji. I have one question which is not related to the session, but it's very practical and I was thinking to ask. I came in devotion through YouTube and last few months I am going to temple and met a good friend. And after talking to her, I realized that she has been in devotion for last 2 years, means prior to lockdown, means almost 3.5 years. And she is very knowledgeable. And after talking to her, I realized that she is having a knowledge, but she is not ready to serve. So and she is not initiated yet. And in the meanwhile, I got shelter. And she has not got that. So I want to help her and I'm realizing that she is not ready to serve Krishna. She's not ready to do anything though. So how can I help her?
Just be nice to her. Sometimes we forget that, helping somebody means instructing. Many times, you just be nice to people. Just be a co-passenger rather than being a driver. That will bring people on your side more than you being the driver and they being the follower, you being the leader and they being the follower. You trying to say that I am here to help you. Many times people's ego will not like, when I tell somebody I can help you. I don't want your help here. Understand? Because that is taking help means people think that is something, below. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So, better to be a co-passenger and, put yourself in their shoes and say that, okay, we are in this together. This is the way we have to move forward, or this is the way I am moving forward, this is the way I am getting help, I am taking help, you know, something like that, that so-and-so is helping me, and that is why I am able to do this. Like that, then automatically they will become more, because as you said, she has already been associating or having some link for the last 3 years or so. So just be a co-passenger, be nice and try that way, rather than being to say that, you know, I am here to help, let me help you. Sometimes people don't like, you know, I know a lot of people who don't like to say I need help, because that's, you know, ego comes in the way and you don't want to take help. Although you may be requiring more help than anybody else, but purely out of ego, you will not take help. So sometimes you have to help in a way that they don't know that you're helping. So act as a co-passenger and try that way. I hope that works. For each person, it's a different thing. This is just a general suggestion. Okay?
Ji, Prabhuji. But I have not informed her that I'm helping her. I'm just with her, but I'm realizing many things. Actually, her association is very good for me. I was very new. I still don't know anything much, but she guides me very well. So I'm not going to leave her, but she had some issues and she is not ready to connect to me. That's why I was feeling, how can I, you know, be with her or try to come out of all this situation? Because we will definitely have some or the other problem if we solve one problem. But if we hang over that, then it won't help either me or her. So.
Okay, so then maybe you can take help of a third person who is senior to both you and her. May have a better way of handling this problem. In whichever yatra you are a part of, I am sure there are more senior Matajis.
They may be. Ji.
So you can try all the ways possible.
Ji.
It's a very organic way of doing things. There is no set formula for this thing. So it has to just come very spontaneously and organically, then things will work. Also, we must also realize that some people always remain well-wishers. I know people who have been associated with ISKCON for the last 25, 30 years. They do chant a few rounds, they attend programs, they give nice donations, they take part in the festivals, but they won't go beyond that. And we have to accept them for that. Prabhupada said we will also need well-wishers, you know, people who connect with us for festivals, people who connect with us for programs. But they may not be, you know, chanting your 16 round 4 in a principle kind of way. You know? So, you also
have to accept. What is the biggest hurdle when one chants, one has knowledge, one is very intelligent, but still, I thought that service is not happening to her. But what is the biggest hurdle to advance such an intelligent person?
If you're very intelligent, that it will become. Because you think you are smarter than the other person. So you will not listen. You understand? I am smarter than you, so why should I listen to you? That can be a hurdle also. If you want me to list the hurdles, there are unlimited number of hurdles only. You know? But by giving some very nice, as I keep saying, give association. You know?
Okay.
Give association, make sure that she gets association of more senior people who may be more practical and who have seen more in life, you know. So they will be automatically willing to give more suggestions and help and things like that. Try it that way.
I'll definitely do that. Thank you so much, Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
If no one have any further questions, we can end the call here, Prabhuji, with your permission.
Thank you, Mataji. Thanks a lot for giving me an opportunity. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for beautiful class. and very enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again and again in the future. Let's pay obeisance to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa tarubhyesha kripa sindhu vacha patta naam taavan krishna vevyo namah rashtri mad bhagavatam ki jai prabhupada ki jai his grace govardhan giri prabhuji ki jai
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call. I have always relished your class, which you give in Shiva Sangam. So thank you so much. Yeah. I just joined a few minutes before, but I will hear the class and YouTube. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.